2 Timothy 2, and we're going to start in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I ask that you'd help me to preach tonight. Lord, we've already felt your Holy Spirit. We'd ask that you continue to have the Holy Spirit to teach us tonight. Open up our ears and our hearts. Lord, open up the altar, Lord, for anything that needs dealt with tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. This morning we were talking about things about Christianity that are non-negotiable. Remember, we talked about the virgin birth, God being manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God, that we obtained justification through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and nothing else, and that the gospel is to be preached and also believed on for salvation, and then that Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he ascended back to heaven. We talked about those things this morning, and you would think, some would say, well, where did you come up with that? Where did you come up with these ideas and these things? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from God's word, yeah. Not from a council, not from a pope, not from some guru or teacher or master or anything else. It came from God. And that is where we want to root and ground our foundation. That's where we want, man can invent a religion today if he wants to and write things down and create a holy book and everything else. But that's not what I'm interested. I'm interested in what God himself has revealed unto us. And that's what I want to look at tonight. And in Timothy, in 1:13, he said, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he is talking about different things to Timothy. And one of the subjects he hits a couple times is the words that are spoken, the words that are preached and taught. They need to be sound words. But look what it says in 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that we have to slow down a little, that they strive not, so don't strive, about words to no profit. So basically, don't argue about things that have no profit, things that are kind of worthless, things that have no value. And I'll tell you, the church, I don't know if you've realized this, but the true church of Jesus Christ faces many attacks from many directions. A lot of attacks come from the outside. But Paul is telling Timothy right here, he is warning them that be careful, because there could be an attack from the inside. You could end up attacking one another instead of the outside attacking inward. And you think about what are these things that he's telling us, words that have no profit, no value to them. He thinking about striving or arguing over things. We could argue over all sorts of things tonight, couldn't we? I could stand up here and say, what do you think? Do these masks that they're making us wear, do you think they really help us at all? Do you think they have any real value? And we could get into an argument tonight about, maybe pulling some scientific things, maybe pulling opinions, and people would have strong feelings one way or another. But you know what he says? The Bible says not to do that. There's no profit in that. Or maybe what one politician is better than the other one. I'm sure as election season draws nearer, there are churches that instead of getting open the Word of God, or maybe they'll pull one verse out of context and then spend the rest of time talking about which candidate is better than the other one. There's no profit to that. There is no value eternally to that. Or heaven forbid, they'll start talking about Ford versus Chevy and everything else. And that's where maybe I could start coming in in is where you're talking about different cars or whatever, but all of that is no value. That's what he's saying. Don't waste your time arguing about things that don't profit anything. That's what he's saying. And you know, we could get into these arguments and strive, but they don't really help us. All they do is they lead to the subverting of the hearers. That word subverting is the same as overthrowing, and it's the same word we get catastrophe from. He could say you could get into an argument inside the church over something meaningless, and it could be catastrophic. Yeah. You've seen that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Have you seen churches split over things that are meaningless, that have no value, no profit to it? Now, I'll tell you what, the church should split when it comes to Jesus Christ being God or not. That's something you do. You split the falseness from the true reality of that Jesus is God. That is something, the non-negotiables, but this is different. This is everything else that's meaningless, that's not even has anything to do with God's word. But he's saying that could lead to a split. Non-fellowship, believers not fellowshipping with others, and meaningless words. Well, I'm sure that, I hope that we don't argue over those type of things in here, but you know what? We could go out there, and as Christians, we could still argue over things that don't profit. And you know, I'll tell you what, I already pulled it out, but this thing has a great way of doing that. You can log into social media on Facebook or whatever else, and you could argue about the same things we just said we would never argue about in here. You know what, Paul, he didn't say where you shouldn't be arguing over it about. He said, just don't strive over it. There's no profit to it. There's no sense fighting over it. But here's the question. How do we know if our words are meaningless or not? How do we know what has profit and what doesn't? Well, look at verse 15. This verse is so common. One of those things we just have to kind of slow down and look at it. Paul tells Timothy in 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is not just reading the Bible. It's not just taking a class or reading a book on the Bible, but it is literally taking the Bible itself, opening it up, getting into it, reading it, and not just reading it, but the Bible says to study it. And look, it says studying, you know, this studying the word, it is not something that you'll just pick up in an instant and all of a sudden be good at it. It's no different than if you tried to learn another language. Have you ever seen you go try to learn another language and everyone and their brother has a shortcut? You can learn Spanish in 5 minutes or something ridiculous. There is no way. It took you years and years to learn English, and most of us aren't very good at English anyway. To pick up another language, it takes diligent work and effort. You know, the Bible's the exact same way. To pick up what this Bible's talking about, it takes diligent effort. Why? Because you're not just looking at this little piece here and ignoring the rest. You're saying, how does this fit into the entire thing? Well, if you haven't gotten into the rest of it, you won't know. You won't know. But he says to study. And that takes work and effort and everything else. But you know what else? I didn't really catch this as much when I've looked at this verse. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Do you realize we are not studying the Bible so we can get the approval of one another? We're studying the Bible for God's approval. That's what it says right there. Every Christian person, you believe this, the Bible talks about it, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, talking about the Lord from the previous verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, I was looking at this verse, and I have talked about the judgment seat of Christ before, and the Bible tells us we are going to give an account for the Lord with what he has given us. He's not judging me according to what he's given you, or vice versa. He's judging us according to what he has given us. The time he has given us, the talents he's given us, the money, all of the different things that he has given to us, we will be judged on how we did. And then something I didn't realize till today is I believe we will also be judged with what we have done with this that he's given to us. Right here, this Bible. What have we done with it? You know, some people have studied. They have opened it up. They have dug into it for years and years. And then others just left it sit on the shelf. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what he says. Are we a good steward of our time? That's great. But are we a good steward to faithfully studying God's word? He says both. Both things. We'll receive rewards from that if we're faithful in it. And if we're not faithful, it'll get burned up in the fire. That's what it says. But you know what? At this church, we use the King James Version of the Bible. In fact, we just gave some Bibles out to some young kids. And a lot of churches, they might give the KJV to adults, but then the kids, they would give something else. We don't do that. We give it out to the kids as well. You want to know why? You know what the other versions say about this verse, verse 15? Listen, verse 15 in the KJV, study to show thyself approved, all right, unto God. Look at the beginnings of the New King James. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Not study, be diligent. The CSB, which is the one I think Lifeway, says the same thing, be diligent. The New Living Translation says work hard so you can present yourself to God. Work hard. NIV, do your best to present yourself to God. Same as the ESV, do your best. So the King James Version says study. Study it. Study the Word. Study the Bible. These other ones say either be diligent or work hard or do your best. At what? It's always the question in these versions. At what? Be diligent at what? Coming to church and sitting down in the pew? What's it mean to work hard? Work hard at what?
Right.
We don't know. And then do your best. That's probably the worst one I've ever heard. Do your best. You know what that is? That's devilish right there.
Yeah.
You know what? God never in his word says do what you feel is best or is right or is truthful or is good or anything else. Right?
That's right.
These false religions out here and these charlatans and everything else are out here saying, you do what you can do. You know what God says? Do what I've told you to do. There's a big difference. Amen? That's why I don't get in those other ones. And this is just one verse. What does the devil not want you to do? What word's missing? Study. Right?
Amen.
Study.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between being diligent, working hard, doing your best, and studying? Absolutely. You know what, God? He doesn't want us to do our best. He wants to do what he's commanded, which is studying the Word of God. And if we use a different version, we don't have to study. We can just be diligent in reading. Whatever I feel is good enough is good enough. And then the problem is you live your life that way and you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and he's told you to study and all you've done is done your best. It's not good enough. It never has been. You know, if we could do our best to get our way to heaven, then Jesus wouldn't have to come. If we could just do our best and being a Christian person, he wouldn't have even given us this.
Yes.
Just figure it out yourself. Well, I know the world doesn't want to hear that, but that's fine. You know what's sad is a lot of other churches don't want to hear that either. If I preached that this far, you would see a whole bunch of folded arms and a whole bunch of mean faces and a whole bunch of stares and I'd never come back again. Oh well, that's fine. That's fine. Then it says, so how do you study is the question. We know this tells us at the end of the verse, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see what that means? That means that dividing means to dissect it. You cut it. You dig into it. You find the truth. Not just, you know what the other versions say? We'll go back. The New King James actually says rightly dividing, thank goodness. CSB says correctly teaching the word of truth. NLT, correctly explaining the word of truth. NIV, correctly handling the word of truth. And ESV is rightly handling the word of truth. So it doesn't say divide it. It doesn't say get into it. It just says handle it, right? Handle it or teach it correctly. How do you know unless you study and get in there? You don't. And that's the problem. That's the problem. They just go whichever way. You will never know if you have correctly handled God's word until you study it and you rightly divide it. And you know how you know the best way to do it is you get alone and you have a little free time by yourself, which is hard to do, and you pray before you start, and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You do those few things right there. You get away, you study, you pray, and you listen to the Holy Spirit, and you will learn a lot from God's word just by doing that. That's it. That's rightly dividing it. But you know, it takes time and effort and prayer and God helping you. All those things. But it's all free. He'll help us. Do we have an example? Acts 17:10-11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. See, they were ready. They were ready when the preaching and teaching was coming. Their minds were ready, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know what that tells me? Even though the Apostle Paul was coming there to teach, I mean, one of the heroes of faith, I can't imagine him coming in and preaching at our church, but that's what was happening, preaching and teaching at our church. The very Apostle Paul, you know what they did? They got their mind ready to hear what he had to say, but you know what else they did? As he's preaching, they're searching the scriptures while he's preaching, and then later on that day and the next day, they're daily looking in here. You know what they're trying to do? They're making sure what Paul is saying matches the scripture.
Right. Yeah.
My goodness, that's it right there. It doesn't matter who is behind the pulpit, whether it's a hero, whether it's the Apostle Paul himself standing here. The only way we are going to take in preaching and teaching is if we knock it up against this Bible, if we put it up against the standard and see whether it's true or not. Daily, searching the scriptures. That's what they did. They made it a habit. They made it a daily thing. And I guarantee if they were daily studying the scriptures and searching them, they were living according to the scriptures, and they were teaching others what the scripture says, and they were witnessing the Jesus Christ of the scriptures. And that's the key right there.
Amen.
But let's go on. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings. Paul closed the 1 Timothy with that exact, he said, avoid profane and vain babblings, just about the same thing. You know what he's saying? Don't allow it. Don't stand for it. Don't talk about things that are profane. That means unholy. That means just common things, not holy things, and things that are vain, which have no value whatsoever. Kind of like what he said above, things that don't profit. These are the opposite of God's word. God's word is not profane, it's holy, it's righteous, it's true. And God's word has a lot of value. In fact, this is more valuable than the same thing. You could make a brick of gold the same size as this Bible right here, and the Bible would still be more valuable than that, because it has the keys to eternal life, it has the keys to righteousness, it has the promises of God. There's peace in here, there's hope in here, there is grace in here, there's everything that we need to do, everything in our life. It is all right here. It has value. But the opposite is men's ideas, men's opinions, men's teaching. I could get up here and have the newest Christian book and open it up, and I'm sure we could find a thing or two that's good in there. But God says, that's not what I want you to rightly divide. I want you to rightly divide the word that I've given you. That writer that I have blessed to learn something from my word, let me tell you a little secret. You can learn the exact same thing if you just put in the effort. You just get alone with God. You rightly divide it. You open it up. You study it. You pray. And you see what the Lord says. There is no private interpretation. Nothing, in fact, that I preach to you. You can just get into the word, and you can get it yourself as well. That's it. But you see what this profane and vain babblings, it says it will increase unto more ungodliness. I could get up here and tell jokes.
I could get up here and tell stories that have nothing to do with really with God. I could do all these things and fill time. That's what some of them do. They fill a whole bunch of time. You know what else? If you've got a 5-minute sermon, you preach for 5 minutes and you sit down. That's it. We need the truth.
Amen.
He says all this other nonsense, all it does is bring more ungodliness. And we see it. Doesn't help you draw closer to the Lord, but it will draw you away. Verse 17, and their word doth eat, will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus. So those profane and vain babblings, if they continue, they will eat at the church like a cancer. And then Paul gave us two names. And then he tells us what these two, Hymenaeus and Philetus, here's what they were saying in 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Can you believe that? Paul is saying, listen, this close to when Jesus came, this close to the church beginning, we're not very many years into the church, and already you've got two people that have taken all this vain and profane stuff, and they've gotten to the point that the resurrection is past already. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
We know it's ridiculous. You know why we know it's ridiculous? Because we've been rightly dividing the word of truth, and we know that's a bunch of junk. But you see what it says? And overthrow the faith of some. Who are those people? The ones that aren't rightly dividing. The ones that are young in Christ and immature. Or maybe have just been saved, and then all of a sudden they've got some teacher that they look up to that says the resurrection is past. I don't know where they got it from. It doesn't matter. I don't know if they were spiritualizing things or just off the rocker. I don't know what it is, but here's what he's saying. He's saying there is a danger of leading people astray by doing things other than what the Word of God says. We know 1 Thessalonians 5, the resurrection of the dead. You know what it says? It says it brings comfort to the believers.
Yeah.
Wherefore, comfort one another. But that vain babbling stole their comfort that they had, and they replaced it with a lie that the resurrection was past, and it caused some of their faith to be overthrown, because you remember that church was worried about what had happened to those that have died in Christ. What happens? That they were worried. What was going on with them? It tore them up. And then there's the Lord saying, don't you worry. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them forever in the air. That is a comfort. But it got stolen away by vain babbling. And that's what he said. You've got to shun that. You've got to get rid of it. And you've got to rightly divide the truth, so that way you're careful not to insert opinion. But let's close with this. I like the beginning of verse 19. The scriptures are under attack from every angle. They've got all these different Bible versions, and they're continuing to make more all the time. They're replacing words that are true with things that have no profit. They're inserting profane and vain babblings instead of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're substituting the lies and opinions of man for what God has said, what thus saith the word of God on the matter. But it says, nevertheless, you remember what that means? That means in spite of all that, of all the attack on the foundation of God standeth sure. And that blesses me, because I feel like the word is under attack. Attack from every angle. The word, the devil doesn't want us to study. He doesn't want us to open this up. He will try to rob all of our time. He'll try to keep us busy. He'll try to get us to turn to everything but God's word. But I'm here to tell you, God's word is still standing sure. We're still preaching it tonight. I pray we keep preaching it till God takes us home and everywhere in between. And I'm glad I can open this thing up. Every once in a while when we get time, we can pray to the Lord. We can ask him for help, and I can read a verse that I've read time and time again. I can read a verse that I've preached before, taught before, and everything else. And God says, I want you to look at it again, and it'll help you again. God's word is full of that, and I'm thankful for it. I am glad we have a sure foundation that standeth sure. There are things that are sinking. There are things that are rocking and rolling in this world. This world is building on shifting sand, and they're seeing it shift day by day. But I'm glad, although everything's going crazy around us, I'm glad we can stand on God's word. Why? Because it doesn't matter what happens in this world. Jesus said, I'm coming back. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. He said, look what he says after this. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows who we are. It doesn't matter if everyone's forgot our name. It doesn't matter if everyone says that everything in this book is a bunch of fairy tales. I can stand here and say that God knows me. He hasn't left me alone. He hasn't left me comfortless. I'm not going to die and that's it. He's going to, if I die in this life, he'll raise me one day. Not only that, when I close my eyes in death, I'll open my eyes in victory and see him face to face. Not only that, but the sure foundation I'm standing on is just as we worship him down here, I plan on worshiping him up there, except I won't have the flesh in the way. I won't get tired. I won't get frustrated. I won't get lazy or anything like that. I'll be looking to him and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for every time you helped me. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for preparing a place for me. I tell you what, when we see the place that he's prepared, we're going to be amazed. We're going to say, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve mercy. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve to rule with you and reign with you. I don't deserve to have a crown on my head and we'll cast it at his feet. I don't deserve to spend eternity with you. But thank you, Jesus, because you saw fit to leave all of heaven. Come here on this earth. Die for my sins when I didn't deserve it. Love me even though I fail you every day. And you decided to give me your comforter all the time. Even those times when I quench him, he's still there when I turn back. I'm glad that you didn't just forgive me once, but every time I let you down and I come back to you and confess my faults, there you are coming again. I'm thankful. That's the foundation I'm standing on. That's the reason I'm coming in here tonight. That's the reason why I get in that book all the time. That's why I try to rightly divide, because every time I get in it, I'm reminded why I'm here. I'm not here for you. I'm not here for me. I'm not here to have my name in the paper. I'm not here to be on the membership roll. I am here because Jesus saved my soul. I am here because he set me aside, set me apart. He called me to preach. He's put me here. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to try to do his will. I don't always do what he wants me to do. I don't always succeed. But I'll tell you what, every once in a while, I'm a little faithful. Every once in a while, he's happy with me. And that's what I'm standing on. That one day, I'll stand before him and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Enter thee into the joys of the Lord. One day it's true. That's why I'm still here. Not because this earth is giving me any rewards. This earth can't stand me. This earth is mad at me. This earth can't stand that we preach and teach in the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you what, it's his name that saved my soul, not any other name. It's his name that I call upon when I need help. It's his name that's the one that died for my soul and not another. And it's his name that can raise the dead. That is why I'm here. It's that foundation and not another. That's it. That's why we're here. The devil wants us to replace this with something else. I'll tell you what, you replace this with anything and you're going to be shifting immediately. But I'm glad we've got his word. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to work hard? Are we going to do our best? Are we going to be diligent? That's what the world says. And they're worldly translations. Or are we going to study to show thyself approved unto God? Amen. A workman, right? Work that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's stand.